For a limited time, you can get KFC chicken with the sweet heat of hot honey. And after one bite, you'll wonder, how do bees make hot honey so hot? Are they special bees? Does KFC have dragon bees? Fire-breathing dragon bees that create spicy honey? No, silly. There's no such thing. KFC just partnered with Mike's Hot Honey to drizzle all over their crispy chicken. But dragon bees would be so cool. Try it now for only $7 or share a box with friends for $25. Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
A new poll which has revealed what our all-time favourite holiday reads might be. Sally Rooney and her book Beautiful World, Where Are You? That comes out on top. Followed by J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter collection, E.L. James' 50 Shades of Grey, Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice, all featured there. But someone whose books should be on your summer reading list is with me now, author Sam Blake. Sam, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you for that.
So, I always enjoy your books. I tend to write thrillers, read thrillers rather. When I go on holiday, it's my favourite kind of diversion, and you certainly provide those. Now, what do you recommend for summer reading?
I think from the poll here, we're seeing people going for escapist reads, aren't we? But well, not escapist, but like sort of maybe books that they're really, really familiar with already. But I think on holiday, I think it's a chance to try something new. The polls that suggest that people tend to go with something that they are familiar with, a genre they're familiar with, and also that a lot of people don't know what to read, but I think it's the time to go through, as you're going through the airport, grab those blockbusters.
Yeah, looking at the list, I mean, I mentioned what came out top, Sally Rooney, and that, you know, whatever about the merits of the book, it's a book that's in the public eye. It'll be front and central in the bookstores, so people will pick it up, even if they don't know anything about it. They see the name Sally Rooney, and lucky for Sally, that's nice. But looking down the rest of it, I mean, To Kill a Mockingbird.
I know, it's great to see that on the list, actually.
The Diary of Anne Frank.
Yes.
The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas, John Boyne. So people will who are not readers, perhaps, because I would expect regular readers would have read all of those.
Yeah.
Books. People who are not readers will look for a familiar title.
Yeah, I think that's the case. And with a poll like this, you're never very sure what the first question was and who the people are who answered it. And so I think people definitely seem to hear fallen back on some old favourites, which could be pandemic related too.
You mean to say that they don't actually read these books at all?
Well, you
they're just saying,
they have
think of
done.
A book. Oh, I get To Kill a Mockingbird. I did that in school. Yes, To Kill a Mockingbird. I'd read that on holidays.
Exactly, because it's a bit of a funny mix, isn't it, really, in terms of, like, you know, what's out at the moment. Sally would be really one of the main ones here who's sort of current, but the small favourites in there too. But yeah, I think people tend to go with the genre they're familiar with. Like you said, they're like a good mystery, or I think in this survey, romance came out very high on top. And certainly Claudia Carroll's book, The Love Algorithm, would be a great pickup if you're heading out today. So I think romance is always great because it's something you're very comfortable with and it's warm.
Women versus men and their choices.
I think women are much wider readers. There is this whole school of thought that suggests that men don't read books by women, written by women.
I don't think that's true anymore. So many of the thriller writers are women now.
They are indeed, but a lot of us have male names, don't we? Androgynous names to try and get past that. There was a big survey in The Guardian, actually, about a year and a half ago about the percentage of people who are reading different books. And certainly, say, for instance, Jane Austen has a far lower percentage of men reading than she would do men. And then you go to something like Stephen King, and it's much, much higher for male readers.
I wonder to what extent there was some resistance to women writers. I mean, Agatha Christie, most famously. The late P.D. James Phyllis, we interviewed her several times. P.D. is androgynous again. You know,
absolutely.
You don't know whether it's a man or a woman. But Agatha Christie, most famous of all crime writers in her time.
Absolutely. But one of the most prolific and amazing writers. Her books will hold you. If you haven't read an Agatha Christie, now is the time to pick one up. Definitely take one of those on holiday with you.
Okay, so your advice then for people choosing a book, you go into the bookstores, particularly in the airport, there will be books that are placed, as I mentioned, like Sally Rooney, because she's out there. But how do you select something that you're not going to want to just fling into the pool because it's so boring?
I think go with something you're familiar with. You know, if you like a good crime novel, have a look at it. Read the back, obviously. Certainly when we're writing, we always are very keen on the fact people maybe are reading the opening page. So, you know, have a look, read the opening page, and if it hooks you in, that's a book for you. If it doesn't, put it back and try another one.
The blurbs. I'm sure you've done this, or your publisher has done this, that there will be a blurb which will include an endorsement from a writer, and people who don't know how the publishing industry works will say, but how can they have that on a brand new book? I mean, it's only just out. How could they have read it? It's not already reprinted, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of us get proofs. And in fact, actually, I've brought Andrea Mara's Hide and Seek in with me today, which is the proof copy. It's not even the original. Her hardback is in the shops now. But this is the proof copy that came out to me months ago. And I was able to read that and able to give an endorsement on the back of it because it's a fantastic book.
So tell me about that book, because it might be one I will choose to read.
It's great. Oh, it's fantastic. It's a real, Andrea has a real knack for capturing the schoolyard, the sort of school gate type community that everybody's very familiar with. It's set in a house estate in Dublin, quite a smart one, and it's really a story of secrets and people disappearing. And the thing about Andrea Mara is she has amazing twists, so you will definitely get to this book and there's always that little extra twist, then you'll put it down and you'll be just so happy. It's getting rave reviews.
Yeah, I've just finished reading Steve Kavanagh's latest book,
Oh, The Accomplice.
Twists.
Oh, master twists.
Master twists. And it's, you know, myself and one of our producers, Claire Darmody, we kind of try to second guess the author, you know, those masters and mistresses of twists, but normally they get us every time.
That's it. I interviewed Jeffy Deaver a little while ago, and he said he always puts in three twists. So one he expects the reader will get.
Yeah.
One he thinks the reader might get if they're really super clever, but one they really won't. So you're always guaranteed to put it down going, I didn't see that one coming.
Okay, because you want to congratulate yourself on being clever with the first twist.
A little bit.
And the second twist, most definitely clever, but then they get you in the end.
Absolutely, that's the idea. Twist it all around at the end.
So what will you bring as a writer? What do you bring on holiday? I mean, you're trying to relax, but I suspect a writer is never really relaxing, because a snatch of conversation, an observation of a person by the pool or a furtive figure at the bar, whatever it is the stuff of, you know, a future novel.
Oh, it absolutely is. Yes, we're definitely, I think all writers are very nosy people. So we're always listening on to other people's conversations and just getting ideas. You pick up ideas everywhere. I go on holiday to Cornwall every year, actually, and the location I go to gave me all the ideas I needed for The Dark Room, which was the book before this one. So, yeah, you're absolutely like a sponge. But I love going on holiday because I take books that I don't have to read for work, if you like. So I read, obviously I read an awful lot of crime, a lot of mystery. I read Kit DeWall's memoir over the holiday while I was away. And I actually read a book by Charity Norman. I was doing an interview with a few people. Sam Lloyd's The Rising Tide was amazing. It's a book all about the sea. For anybody who's local to here, would be definitely be interested in that one. And also Leslie Carr's The Apartment Upstairs.
Yeah.
Something else
I can see stuff like that, though, all creeping into your work. You know, you learn about the tides and suddenly, you know, the body washed out to
Absolutely.
Sea. You know where it will wash up, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. I remember having a conversation with my agent about septic tanks and getting onto the tube because you see something or you read something and it's just like, that's really interesting. Even listening to the gentleman you had on earlier about talking about the heart situation, which is fascinating. The mind is ticking over the whole time.
Yeah, so we know there will be a young man who's taken too much cocaine who dies
of a
heart attack. But in fact,
it's something
he was killed completely in a different fashion.
By somebody you don't expect.
So when you're reading other people's thrillers, as you say, you like crime fiction when you go away. I mean, are you analysing them? You say it's a vacation read, but it's not really if you're in the business.
Well, it's wonderful to see how other people handle character and location and how they handle those twists. We spend a lot of time foreshadowing the twists to make sure that when you finish the book, although you don't know what's coming, that when you think about it after, you think, oh, yeah, all the markers were there and I missed them. And seeing how other people do that, I think it's a learning process. As a writer, you never stop learning and you want each book to be better. And the only way to do that is to read other people.
Recently, I interviewed Daisy from Where the Crawdads Sing.
Oh, yes.
And she plays Kaya in the movie. And I remember I hadn't read the book. Strangely, everyone else in my family has read the book, but I had not. And at the end of the movie, I had questions to ask. So I rang my daughter, Christina. I said, look, Christina, what's the story here? There were questions I had left unanswered. And she said, in the book, they're unanswered too.
That's very interesting, isn't it? Because I think you want to provide enough resolution for the reader that you feel satisfied when you finish the book. But it is quite nice to have the little bit of an end so that it feels like real life, because real life isn't always finished off, is it?
Now, remind our listeners before you go about your current book and where they might locate it in the airport shop.
Well, it should be in the airport shop. And it is Remember My Name by Sam Blake. It's a book about cybersecurity and it's set in Dorking.
And it's very, very good.
Thank you.
I think I know the house.
I think you might.
All right. Sam, thank you very much for joining us. And don't forget, take a book or two. Oh, by the way, last thing about people using electronic devices, digital devices versus the book, the hard book or soft or hardback. They prefer, by and large, to have a physical copy of
it. Yeah, they do. That's what the survey said, that they prefer. I think I like a book that you can turn the pages off and you can feel like you're reading. But I have to say, I bought a Kindle for the first time ever while I was on holiday because of just the amount of things that I have to read now. And from that point of view, especially if you're flying, it can be very useful.
And people do not want to put anything in the hold at the moment.
Well, absolutely.
For fear of lost luggage. So they tend to compress their reading into one slim digital volume. Sam Blake, thank you very much for joining us in studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.